Our starting text is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 7. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with him and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Would you pray with me? Beloved Lord, this is holy time. We thank you for your life within and among us, for one another, and for the gift of this precious word. May this time of reflection and devotion fill us anew with you and help us to give you glory. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love these two texts. The people who work with me will tell you, though, that I say that almost all the time. It doesn't matter what text it is. But how beautiful and rich they are with imagery. The mighty power of God showing through us, of all things. Mercy, grace poured out, abundance that carries on into the eons. All because of what God has done for us before Christ, after Christ, although Christ was in the beginning, was he not? And yet, as I was preparing for today, I kind of tripped on both of these scriptures. Well, not kind of. What I want to know is who gave the Apostle Paul permission to decide that while we're in the midst of trauma, we have to be examples of the faith. See, perhaps this is just reflective of my own development as a person of faith. But a little over 14 months ago, when my family and I were, my sisters and I were having to decide whether or not to put my father on life support, I can tell you that the question of how do I glorify God in this was about on my C list of questions to ask. It was nowhere on my radar. In fact, it never even appeared as a question in my mind until several weeks after the fact. Although, maybe there were glimpses. But I confess to you that as I think about what is missing in my life now, because my parents are now both gone, I feel it keenly, and part of it is preparing to be with you today, but also because we've had important family events. coming, or they have happened and will happen. Youngest granddaughter graduated from high school a couple weeks ago. Oldest granddaughter gets married a couple weeks from now. And darn it, Dad should be there. I know he is. It's what everybody says, isn't it? But it's not quite the same. He was having a little trouble walking before he died, and we were joking with him that since the wedding was going to be outside, that we had figured out that we would take a wheelbarrow and paint it in the wedding colors and just wheel him down. That way he wouldn't have to be in a wheelchair, you know, because that would offend his dignity. But those little moments come, don't they? The loss happens, and even when you're at peace with it at the time, you know there was nothing else that could be. The person lived a long and full life, many things for which you could give thanks. It is still there, is it not? And it comes back to bite every once in a while. And for me, it's not usually on my radar to think about how I'm going to be a good example to others. Especially not at the time when the worst of it is happening. All I know is that we have to get through what's happening right now. But then there are those times when the reflection starts to come, are there not? Where we even think about the night that Dad died, and the doctor, well, you know, doctors, sometimes it's hard to get a straight answer from them. No offense, friends, okay? But what's going on? What do we need to do? You need to make a decision, he says. So we pin him down. Tell us what we need to know to make this decision. But when we said to him, we know this is not your decision to make, it's ours, the way we saw him visibly relax, and then began a conversation that really was holy conversation as God worked through him to speak to us about what he saw. And then there was those nurses. Oh, thank God for the nurses. There's a special place in heaven where people take care of nurses instead of them taking care of other people, don't you think? Except for the problem is, there is, except for the problem is that since they're nurses, they don't want to go there because they've got people to take care of. Right? Thank God for the nurses. You know, the ones who tell you it's okay to make your decision, who hang with you, who make sure you have blankets to keep you warm while the ICU unit is cold and while you wait for the breath to pass and for your loved one to move on. And then there were those other things, like the friends and the colleagues, the close co-workers who prayed with us. And then in the succeeding days, participated in putting together the leadership for the worship service to celebrate his life. The folks who said yes to me when I asked them to help, I'm still humbled by that. Amazing. And the neighbors, some of the neighbors didn't even know us, my sisters and I, but they brought us food anyway. They kept us in brownies for 2 weeks, and it was very good. Okay. And then those moments where you get a call from a family friend or somebody says, how you doing? You guys just doing okay? Okay. The serendipitous moments. And when I think back on the service itself, it was a beautiful service, but the most powerful moment for me was standing in the back, waiting for people to kind of settle into their chairs so that we could get up to the front and sit as family preparing for the service. And I looked out on all these people who were part of our lives, and friends and co-workers and neighbors and family, and I thought to myself, this is abundance. This is blessing. it was astonishing that in the midst of the loss, this moment of grace shone through people who were part of his life, who are part of our lives. And of course, all the times that come after that, when people just sort of check in with you and question whether or not you're telling the truth when you say you're doing okay. All those little moments where even for this person who had trouble saying, what am I supposed to be giving glory to God for? All these little moments that when I think back translate into glimpses of the grace and the love of God, the profound mercy that was poured out upon us at a time when life was not good and nothing that was happening was right, even though we know death is natural. Being given up to death while we live. What does that mean? We know that the Apostle Paul had some difficulties and a few little disagreements, small ones, with particularly the church in Corinth. And so his time of reflection upon his own ministry is, of course, of where this text comes from, that the ministry itself brought hardship and struggle. And he says it in many ways throughout all of his letters. I count it as loss because of Christ. What does it mean to give glory to God when the last thing you want to do is to be a good example to others? I don't have a lot of answers, except I do know these things. I know that in finding the places where grace and mercy and love are poured upon us are the places where we can see the face of God and the presence of God at work. I know that the serendipitous times when someone remembers and asks are precious moments where God's love is evident. I know that in the times when I'm able to give thanks, I am acknowledging what God has done. And it takes a little time, doesn't it, to get to that place, not just at that moment, but then throughout our lives, for all the rich things that we have seen, all the wonderful people who have been part of our lives, those things that have passed away, when we remember them and give thanks to God, it changes us and God is glorified. As I reflect on my own experience and what I have seen in the lives of others who are close to me, church members, family members, friends, what I have seen is this. At least this is my own excuse for not doing better with the Jesus question at the time of hard decisions. What I have seen is this, that when we're living lives that cultivate a life in Christ, a winsome and deepening relationship with God, when we know the Spirit's presence in our lives, when we see acts around us that give us evidence of God's activity in the world, when we are cultivating that throughout our lives, what begins to happen is that we have this relationship that really doesn't need to be questioned in the rough times, even when we have our doubts and struggles. We can just lean on it, even if we're not aware that that's what we're doing. Even if that's the last thing we want to do because we're mad at God for a little while, it doesn't go away. And when we cling to that relationship, when we cling to that God who is the source of our life, the one who gives us breath and peace, even if we can't feel it in our bones, it remains like the close friend that comes up once in a while and says, "How you doing?" the relationship is not broken with God. In some ways, it's broken with the loved one, although they are still with us because we love them and they are in us. But God's mercy pours through us when we're able to see and to identify all the ways in which God has been visible to us and in which that relationship has remained and grown throughout our lives. So that the times when the questions are hard and the last thing you want to do is know whether or not you're setting a good example for others who are looking at people of the faith and wondering what this is all about, it is that faith and the community around us that carries us. I think when we live our lives day to day, just like all those we celebrate and remember today, who gave their lives into the service of loving God and loving this world that God so loves, when we remember these folks and all that God has done through them, and think about their lives and their example, does it not bring us to a place of thanksgiving? And once you start, where are you going to stop? That's how the thanksgiving is increased, because we have continued to trust, we've continued to hope, we've continued to give ourselves over into the hands of this one whom we really don't always understand or ever understand, and yet we know that in God's hand is our life. And that God is trustworthy. And so, therefore, the life that God offers can become real to us when we're walking that way with the one who made us. And so, my friends, there are no easy answers, and I still have a few things to talk to the Apostle Paul about. And yet, in the midst of it all, to be able to come through it and to say, God is good because I've been able to trust God in the past, and God is good because I've been able to see what God is doing now, and I can count on that for the future because I have built a lifetime of trusting this one who made me. When people see that, that is also what increases thanksgiving. So at some level, we don't even have to do the work. At the times we're in pain, we just have to remember to cling to the one who loved us so much that he gave his son to the world. We don't have to worry about being the great examples, because when we love God and others, that love will multiply and spread. So, my friends, may God's peace be with you, and may this time of remembering and all the times of remembering, the good and the bad, become for you the seeds that draw you closer to life, to Christ, that help you cling more closely to this one who gave everything for all of us. And just know with assurance that when you do that, when you do that, other people will see it, and then they will give glory to God. Amen.